I'd like to recall us back to intercession. If anybody can't fit back there, we have room on the benches up here. All right, where we are is, I believe that the chair of the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Julie Kiefer, has a motion to make.
Yes, thank you, Martha. The F&I committee voted to advance to the legislature a resolution accepting the determination and findings relating to the proposed public project PIN 3753.25 to reconstruct Hanshaw Road, County Route 109, in the towns of Ithaca and Dryden and the village of Cuba Heights. So I would like to move the committee's resolution.
Is there a second? Mike Lane seconds.
I'd like to talk about it a little bit.
And then, Peter, I see your hand next. Okay.
Subsequent to the committee's meeting, as I think was pointed out tonight, the county thought it would be the wisest, smoothest, fairest course of action to decide to pay for land whose ownership was uncertain, as John Wood said tonight, what was called no man's land in the communication to the residents. And it was described by John Wood as property between where the deed shows the property ends and where the county's use of the road begins. So because of that, we had more time to think about the resolution as well as any comments coming in from additional people who were notified, the 14 property owners. And there was always a desire on some of our parts to try to have the finding statement reflect the flexibility we think is necessary to respond to the desire to have as much traffic calming as possible. And so a substitute resolution was worked on by several legislators. And I believe that that will be offered tonight, and I wait for that.
Thank you, Billy. Peter.
Yes, I'd like to offer that substitute motion, and I'd like to say a few words, if it's appropriate, as to why I'm doing this and why I'm not doing other things.
Okay, so there's a proposed substitute resolution, and members have a hard copy of that. That was also submitted yesterday, sent around by email. So that's the motion. Is there a second? Pat seconds that.
I've spent...
I would be happy to accept that as a friendly substitute. And Peter's welcome to talk about it, but I just wanted to say that...
Okay, so the question is it accepted as friendly? Duly accepts that as friendly. And Mike, do you, as a
yes.
Seconder? That's friendly. So substitute is now the main motion on the floor.
Right.
Peter.
I have spent a lot of time listening to constituents, talking to constituents. I've spoken to many of them, many of the people in this room. I've spoken to at some length, and I have tried to understand exactly what it is they're complaining about and what they want and what the right thing to do is about this. And in the course of those discussions, I've heard certain things again and again. And there are two of them I'd like to talk about. One, which was discussed tonight, namely the morality or the ethics of actually using eminent domain and seizing land for people who don't want to sell it. And many of the speakers, most of the speakers, spoke about that, some with some heat and some emotion. And I tried to understand what they were saying, and I literally cannot understand it. And as Randy Wayne was speaking, Randy, I know, is he in the room? I don't see him. I've known Randy for some time, and he was clearly very, very deeply concerned about the fact of doing this. And the following personal experience came to my mind. My wife and I drove from Ithaca to Boston last month, and it took 6 hours for us to get there. And I was reminded of the first time that I took the trip in the opposite direction, namely from Boston to Ithaca. It was more than 50 years ago when I came to take my first job at Cornell, and my wife and I drove that. And the traffic was a lot less in those days, and the trip took 12 hours. It took 12 hours, portal to portal, to get from Boston to Ithaca. And you may wonder why it was that it took such a short time now. And the answer is the interstate highways made all the difference. We went on little country roads, sort of like Hanshaw Road, for most of the way from Boston to Ithaca. And I tell you, none of those interstate highways would have ever happened had there not been the eminent domain procedure. It was clearly, to my mind, that that trip was definitely in the public good. Maybe it was not for the good of the people whose land was taken, that may well be, but I'm convinced in my mind that and thousands of other public projects that I can imagine were in the public interest. And I do not see anything ethically wrong with doing that. The question is it in the public interest? And that's part of the job that we have. We have to balance the negative harm that's done to the people by doing it against the positive harm. So that's my comment on that. The other things that I heard, I looked a little bit at the alternate designs that were presented, and I find them wanting. I lost three people that I knew lost their lives in the 50 years that I've been here because they were killed by cars, because they were driving, they were on their bicycles, because they were bicycling on a shared roadway. And I myself, in this community that values biking so highly, would be very reluctant to pass any kind of a reconstruction of a road which did not have adequate facilities for bicycles. 1.5 feet is 18 inches. I am 18 inches hip to hip, I think. The handlebars on bicycles are 18 inches. I do not consider that safe. I would not allow my children to drive on an 18-inch shoulder on a road that had traffic going at speeds that would kill people if they impacted them. I don't want to go into all of it, but I've come to know a great deal now, or some more than I used to, about road design, and I do not believe that those alternatives would pass muster, but I certainly will look into them. What I have heard that has concerned me deeply was the prospect of increased speeds in the traffic when we do the project. And I differ from many of my colleagues and many members of the staff who seem convinced that that will not happen. I hope they're right, but I think it may happen. But in addition to that, I've come to believe that the speeds of traffic on that road, project or no project, are intolerable. I believe that we have to do something about that, and I believe that we have not taken sufficient pains to understanding what there is and trying everything we can think of to make sure that that traffic on that road stays within the speed limits, and perhaps that the speed limits be changed where it's appropriate, and I mean downwards, not upwards, and that we find ways of enforcing those speed limits. I'm not promising anything. My colleagues are good people, but I think it's time to take another look at that situation, because from what I've heard, speeding in the county is presenting a serious deterioration to the quality of life in several areas that of people I've talked to in the town outside of Hanshaw Road. So with that in mind, what am I getting at? There are two major changes in the substitute motion. The one I'm not going to speak about is the large bolded paragraph on the last page, which is sort of has a legal purpose. But it's a traffic light signal. And in the substitute motion, it deletes item F, a traffic signal at the Warren Road intersection, and replaces it with the following.
And this is page 3 of the resolution.
This is page 3, yes. That the project may also include a traffic signal at the Warren Road intersection colored shoulders, and or other components to increase vehicle and pedestrian safety. So essentially what I'm saying is I have become convinced by listening to the people that at least at the present time, that traffic signal will not increase pedestrian and vehicle safety, and that we should consider replacing that and using the money to do something else that will have an effect on the real problem that we have. So that's my motion.
In other words, Peter, you've taken the project will include a traffic signal at the Warren Road intersection and replace that with the project may also include a traffic signal at the intersection colored shoulders and or other components to increase vehicle and pedestrian safety.
That's correct. And I'm very unspecific about the other components, and I believe that between the time when we pass this, and I will vote for this and I expect it to pass, and the time when we have a final design, that we will put a great deal of effort into trying to understand what we can do to meet the concerns, the legitimate concerns of the people on Henshaw Road about that traffic.
Thank you, Peter. Carol?
Can I just add a quick question about your substitute of, on page 4, 2B, where it again refers to the traffic light, and you added the words be provided to. Did you mean to say may be provided to there as well, to be in agreement with?
May I just have a minute to read that sentence?
I think Julie actually has the answer to that.
Well, yeah. This is one of the changes I want to move on the floor tonight, and it will address that. Can I do that now? This language...
The be provided to is already in the main
yes.
motion. You want to make some other change.
I want to change. That's right, because
okay.
It says it will be provided to mitigate the above average accident rate at the location. And I learned recently, or had clarified for me recently, that the traffic light is there to help traffic flow in the future. It is not there to mitigate the above average accident rate. So this is an error, this statement. And what would be, I believe, a correct statement would be installation or possible installation of a new traffic signal at the intersection of Warren Road could benefit pedestrian safety at that location.
I would think that's friendly.
All right, let's be clear. You want to add the word possible at the beginning of the sentence.
Yes.
And would you say the rest of it?
Of a new traffic signal at the intersection of Warren Road could benefit pedestrian safety at that location. That is the language that was in the final design report, and it seems appropriate here.
Does everybody have that? Okay. Pat, well, let's see, who's the seconder? Mike, is that
it's
okay
friendly.
With you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Does that answer your question, Carol?
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Frank?
Yeah. Peter, would you point me towards the section that in your substitute that speaks of the may add a traffic light? Because I may have a question for you on that.
Okay. That's what page are you what are you looking at in front of you?
You tell me.
If you look at the thing called substitute motion.
I got that one.
And you look on page 3.
Right.
And you look at line 15.
15.
No.
I
line
see.
Number
it's the bolded F that's crossed out. And
yes.
Have you? Okay. Give me one second.
Yeah. Line 45. Sorry.
Line number doesn't work.
My question is, if a traffic signal, if it's determined that a traffic signal will not be installed, there are 4 stop signs on that at that intersection now.
Yes.
Will there be an accommodation to at least have stop signs there?
Of course.
They remain.
They would remain.
Yes.
That's, thank you.
Anyone else? Dooley. Yeah. Did your hand up?
Say that.
I have one other small change to offer on the floor. It's on page 6. I can't read the line numbers on my copy. I'm sorry.
They're cut off.
Yeah. This is at the very top of page 6, so it's the end of number 5. And it said that it's speaking about alternative 3B being selected for various reasons. Was selected because all of the project objectives are met, including being a cost-effective solution, and therefore is considered to be a feasible alternative. The line on top of page 6 says, it can also be constructed with a minimum amount of disruption to users. And I personally am uncomfortable with that statement, but I would feel more comfortable if it said it can also be constructed with the least disruption to users. That's referring to the other alternatives. So that's a small wording change.
You're the mover. Mike, is that friendly?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and I would just point out about the, Peter mentioned the long paragraph 13 as the another addition in the substitute resolution. That's basically what Jonathan had described on the witness stand about the additional 14 property owners. So, are there any other questions or comments? Dooley.
I want to underline some of the comments that were made in the other room before we moved into here, that I worked with Peter and a couple of staff to make sure that the changes more reflective of flexibility were okay in this resolution. And I understand from staff, and you heard it tonight from several people, that it's actually going to be practice to make adjustments as we get feet on the ground and looking at this project. As you pointed out, you experienced this morning on Ellis Hollow Road. It's our desire that staff look at this with fresh eyes. It's been 3 years since the legislature okayed this design and found no significant environmental impact. And staff is obliged to do that because the state wants them to look at it anyway. So I think that we can look forward to having some serious look at traffic calming again. I think context-sensitive design was in Rich Brower's mind the whole time he led the design project back before 2007. And I can assure the residents from my perspective that we're going to pursue these kinds of things between now and the final design drawings.
Anyone else? I would just like to add one comment along those lines, Dooley, that I've been involved in this since, as the Doug said, that since the NEST study, and there's this tension between pavement and speed. I am convinced that that we can find the right balance here. I'm also convinced that as we move, you know, we don't reconstruct these roads every year. This is a sort of 20, 30 year kind of endeavor. And as we move into this and we try desperately to do whatever we can to get people out of their single occupancy cars and onto bicycles, or whatever other way you can get where you're going. These kinds of investments in facilities for pedestrians and bicycles are critical. And so as we've said before, the county, it's not up to the county to change the speed limit. Peter, I thought you were going to mention what you had talked to me earlier about a study of kind of really trying to look at where we really have speeding problems countywide.
Yeah, a number of things that I didn't think this was the right place to
so
bring
that,
them up. But
you know, this is not the end of the discussion
no.
by any means. So I think, you know, we will take a serious look at all of this, and I just appreciate everybody's time and attention on it. Dooley?
I'm sorry, I keep remembering things. I've fallen into the same trap as I guess a lot of folks have, that I'm focusing on the design of the project. We're voting tonight on whether we should have the ability to invoke eminent domain if we need it. I certainly don't want us to use it. You heard our highway manager say in all his time He's never used it. You heard our county attorney say in all his time the county has never used it. And the main complaint with respect to eminent domain that I heard tonight and I've heard before is that somehow our process is not legal. What we have done doesn't follow the procedure correctly. And I disagree with that interpretation, or I would not be voting for this. And I wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. I'm ready to vote. All in favor of the resolution, which is the substitute with a couple of small changes, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 opposed. 9-4, that passes. That's with Nathan and Jim not here. All right. I believe that concludes our business for the evening. Mike.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Is there a second? Brian. All in favor of adjournment? Raise your hand. We're adjourned. Thank you.